Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special bonus episode of the Bravo Papers, here to bring you your Vanderpump Rules After Show recap. Now, I know I'm late, okay? I know. But I had just the craziest week, and, you know, the friend's birthday with my daughter and her friends, and then the family birthday, it was like two parties, and I was just running around like a maniac trying to get everything ready, and it was a lot. And you know, there was a lot of news and stuff going on too, so it was like the Bravo world was keeping me busy as well, you know, between all the lawsuits and all that mayhem, and then you know, the just stuff going on with the reality reckoning and all that. And you know, it was a longer news episode the other week, so it was a lot. There was a lot happening, but I am here to catch up and to bring you your after show recaps. Better late than never, right? Okay, so there was episodes 5 and 6. That's what I'm behind on here. But episode 5, listen, it was not a great episode. It was a terrible episode. And on top of that, not a lot happened. And, you know, when I was watching the after show, that kind of reminded me of it. Like, I was watching it and I'm like, oh yeah, nothing really happened this episode. It was pretty boring. And I will say that there wasn't a lot of juicy nuggets from the after show. So I wrote down what was somewhat juicy, I guess. But then episode 6, on the other hand, episode 6 had a lot, and episode 6 brought a lot. Episode 6 was a great episode. So that was last week's episode. I'm recording this on Monday, March 11th. So just to give you like a time frame. So yeah, that was a great episode and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of back to a lot of the, you know, Vanderpump stuff that we love. You know, Sheena being completely self-absorbed and, you know, having no self-awareness, and, you know, Lala and Tom yelling at each other. And so I enjoyed that episode. I really did. And there was a lot of good stuff from the after show. So look forward to that. But first, we will go through some of the episode 5 stuff, starting with just their discussion of even going on the Lake Tahoe trip. So Sheena says, basically, in the after show, and just to remind you, in the interview, what's it called? I don't know what to call it. I was about to say pods. I think I'm watching too much Love is Blind, but Sheena, Lala, and James are together for the interview. So Sheena says she wouldn't have even gone on the trip if Lala didn't go. And Lala says she understands why Ariana and Katie didn't go. So they seem pretty understanding of that. Like, Sheena and Lala don't seem like they're like annoyed that they didn't go, which, I mean, I could understand that, because I don't think that, like, I don't think Sheena likes Katie that much. And I also think that this was Sheena's chance to be the center of attention, right? Like, if Ariana had gone, it would have been about her and Tom Sandoval coexisting and what happened to her. And she would have been the, you know, the star of those scenes. And I think Sheena was probably happy about this. And so was Lala, because it gave them a chance to make it all about them and make it all. And again, and I'm not even like blaming them for that, because I appreciate that Sheena and Lala are giving us content on this show, which we desperately need. So not blaming them for that, just saying I think that's why they were probably down with it. James is the only one who says he was bummed they didn't go, but he also says he understands, so he doesn't seem like pissed off about it. Then they flash back to the Toms, who are, of course, together for their interviews. And Sandoval starts crying whilst reflecting on when he was crying in the car. So, you know, on their way to Tahoe, he's talking about how, you know, Sheena said hi to him in the airport or whatever, and he starts crying. So he starts crying again. You know, and Schwartz is like, oh, man, is that getting, oh, I feel, you know, you're so emotional. Let it out. Like, just like, it's just, it's so obvious that it's inauthentic. Like, it's like he's in the high school play and he's the one kid who can cry on command. So they give him the lead role because of that, you know? So, you know, they flash back to Sheena and Lala. I thought this was kind of funny. And they're like, we just said hi and that's it. Like, Sheena and Lala kind of see it as like a much smaller thing than Sandoval sees it. Now, Sandoval says that when he saw Graham, he was like, oh, my God, I need to talk to Rachel immediately. And then Schwartz kind of makes a little joke. He's like, oh, were you worried about like how familiar Graham would be when he saw you or something like that? I was like, listen, I kind of had that thought, too. And then Sandoval was like, no, you know, like he like can't take a joke all of a sudden. Lala says she always hated the name Graham. I gotta disagree. I hate the name hippie. Like, listen, I'm not on Rachel's side or anything, but Graham is a better dog name, especially for the type and look of dog that Graham slash hippie is. Like, he looks like a Graham. I get it. Like, he's the color of a Graham cracker, and he's like, you know, he's like a little cutie, you know, with the like the curls in his fur. Like, it just makes sense. I don't know. Like, not that hippie's like a terrible name for a dog, but it's just not my taste. Okay. So Sandoval says that he knew Rachel changed the name of the dog at least a month prior to it being announced. So like, obviously, because they're talking, Ariana and Katie joke that about the name change. So now we're talking about the Rachel name change. I'm so sorry. I did not make that clear. Okay. So now we're talking about Rachel changing her name. Okay. So Ariana and Katie joke that like, it's not that groundbreaking. Like, Rachel is her actual name. So her changing it to that isn't like, you know, I guess they were trying to say they didn't understand why it was such like front page news. I don't know, but I think they just didn't want to make a big deal of it in their interview, which I get. So then we get to Lala and Sheena talking about the change of the name. And Lala basically is like, she says she doesn't think the name was weaponized and that it was just petty fun calling her Rachel. I mean, I would disagree. Like, I'm not on Rachel's side here because like, whatever, but obviously because she was in the wrong. But in terms of the name being weaponized, it was. People were like, okay, Rachel, you know, like people were calling her that on social media in a very mocking way. And people even started calling her that as a way to accuse her of being fake, right? Of saying like, oh, even your name isn't real. Like, you know, because people were saying like, oh, she's made up this whole persona of being like this sweet, innocent girl, but really she's not. So yeah, it was weaponized, like, to be fair. I don't think her taking it back maybe did as much as she thinks it did, because I think like people caring about that just kind of faded over time. But whatever. Anyways, Schwartz says he doesn't want to be single. He's also isn't ready for a real relationship. Yeah, duh. He says he's very sad about his living situation. He's spending about the same amount on rent as he was on his mortgage, not building any equity. His apartment is fine, but it makes him sad because it's like a divorced guy apartment. And I feel, in terms of feeling bad for him, I feel like 0% bad for him. So yeah, you made your own bed and you're in that apartment because you were not a good husband. Like, let's just be real. You could still be in that house and you could still be married. Like, no, I'm not saying Katie's like a perfect angel, but she's the one who approached him to leave because he's cheating. And let's be honest, he did put that restaurant ahead of her and everyone else. By the way, I do not have any verification of this, and this is just word on the street, but I have heard that Schwartz and Sandy's is closing. Again, word on the street. I do not have any confirmation of this, but that is what I've heard. So just keep your ears open for news about that. You know, then Sandoval says that that he doesn't think that Schwartz's apartment is that bad. But then he also says it's like the first apartment you get when you graduate from college. So I was like, what? So wouldn't that be like, quote unquote, bad? Like, isn't the first apartment you get out of college like not the best apartment? Like, that's like a starter. Like, not that it's anything to be ashamed of, but whatever. Sandoval says, you know, James was like a dog at the reunion who like basically needed a collar and to like shut him up, because anything Sandoval would say, James would jump on him. That is true. But like, listen, that's what, for the most part, we were looking for as an audience, because I think the audience was so angry at the time. Like, I remember some people being annoyed that Lala and James were chiming in a little too much, which I still would stand by that they did chime in a little too much. But at the same time, it's like, that's what that reunion was and kind of what we expected it to be. And it was a good reunion. Like, it just was. Now, in terms of something about her, Katie says health department and other issues are setting them back. It was a second generation space. It already had a patio and other stuff. It was already an operating restaurant with approved equipment. So that was why they chose it. They thought it would get inspected and signed off on easily. So when they came in and had an issue with like the flooring and the sink, you know, they were surprised that the inspector had issues with that. And they were trying to say that, I guess, Katie and Ariana had brought in new things like the sink, for example, even though they didn't. Katie says if it was up to them, it would be open. But, you know, they're waiting like months between inspections. I'm kind of torn on this something about her thing. You know, there's like a part of me that I really want to believe Katie and Ariana. Then there's another part of me that's like, listen, if you just decided you don't want to do it anymore, it's okay. Like, if Ariana is just too busy now and her career has skyrocketed and now she just doesn't want to do the restaurant anymore and Katie doesn't want to do it on her own, that's completely understandable. Like, when they opened it, they had no idea that this whole Scandoval thing was going to happen. They didn't know that, you know, Ariana was going to be this successful and now she probably just doesn't have time. So close it. Like, who cares? I don't think people would care that much. Like, yeah, there's a group of haters out there that'll be like, told you so. They were never going to open the restaurant. But those people are, you know, like black and white thinkers who don't see the gray area, which is that, you know, sometimes something suddenly happens in life and you change your plans, right? Like, two people could open a restaurant and maybe then one of them's family ends up, you know, in some bad situation and they have to bow out. That's life. Right? In this situation, it's for a good reason. And maybe Katie's just like, yeah, I'm over it too. It's fine. Like, I get it. You're too busy and I don't want to do it alone. So I'm good. I don't know. But I just wish that if that's the case, I think they just need to rip the Band-Aid off and admit it. I think their fear is that people are going to accuse them of, you know, being incompetent like Tom and Tom were with Schwartz and Sandy's, because Tom and Tom got a lot of criticism for just like making stupid decisions. Like, they had to rebuy their couch 19 times and they had to like, oh, we don't like this decor. Like, they kept getting wrapped up in a lot of the shallow parts of it rather than getting things that they needed, like a menu and a chef. Right. But I don't, from what I've seen, I don't see anyone saying that. What I do see people saying is that it was a merch money grab. But that's also a stupid theory. I'm sorry. It just is. Because they could have sold merch after Scandoval, you know, like Lala and Sheena and James and all of them, and made the same amount of money without having to also spend 200 grand on a restaurant. Like, that's just bad business. Like, yeah, they made a lot of money in merch, but then they have to spend it on opening this like fake restaurant. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, people would have bought any merch that Ariana would have put out. Even Katie, I think Katie could have come up with something like, I'm going to light them both on fire or something. Like, Katie too. Anyway, they both could have made the same amount of money without having to also spend that money on this restaurant. So to me, that theory doesn't make sense. And again, the haters are going to hate. Okay. So Sandoval says he knows James did look up to him in the past and that he did inspire James. And again, it doesn't seem like that's coming from a place of remorse. It seems like it's coming from a place of Sandoval like tooting his own horn. Like, yeah, I'm like so inspirational to him as like an artist, you know, because like he's an artist and I'm an artist. He didn't say that, but I can just see him thinking it. He repeats that the affair wasn't intentional to hurt anyone. Okay. Okay. Schwartz says it wasn't vengeful. Well, yeah, we know he wasn't trying to get revenge because he didn't need to get revenge. That doesn't take, you can do something intentionally without it being vengeful. And also, like, you can't dress up as your mistress for Halloween and say you were not in any way intending to hurt someone. Like, it's hard to reconcile those two things. James says he gets angry because he feels like Sandoval is diminishing his intelligence with his excuses. Like when he says what I just told you about the intentionality, you know, and when he has all his excuses for like why he didn't just break up with Ariana, right? Which I get it because I think we all feel that way. I know the Bravo audience is like every time Sandoval is trying to come up with one of these excuses or shift blame, people are like, we see what you are doing. It's very obvious. We're not idiots. And again, that could be part of whatever personality disorder he has where he really truly believes that he's smarter than everyone. And I really think he thinks that. Sheena says her and Brock try to compromise. So this is about the nanny. And Brock wanted to get a nanny. So, you know, Sheena's mom could be more like the grandma than the nanny. Sheena says her mom comes with a lot of opinions about parenting. And Sheena questions everything she's doing and has less confidence. So Brock doesn't want her around as much. Okay. I'm a little like back and forth about this thing. Like at first I was like, okay, Brock is being so insensitive about the postpartum OCD, which I still feel that way. However, I am kind of seeing Brock's point. Like just as someone who has a mother and a mother-in-law and a child, I do understand how those opinions coming in, especially when your kid is very young, because the opinions do, well, at least for me, they sort of loosen up as they get a little older, as the kid gets older. But like when you're a first-time parent, the older generation, they've got a lot to say, you know, and they also have old school ways of thinking about parenting. And, when my kids were young, we just did this and that, like they have all these, but you know, they don't consider that we are living in a different world with different cultural contexts, different expectations of parenting, different expectations of mothering. And I'm not saying there weren't harsh expectations back then too. They've just changed and that's a reality. So, you know, I get what Brock is saying. Like if the mom is adding more stress to Sheena and is critiquing the way Sheena does things, maybe Sheena is super sensitive about criticism, which we see by these episodes that she is, especially episode 6. You know, so maybe it is better that her mom is, you know, a grandma who visits and isn't like a full-time caretaker. So I do get that. Because at first I'm like, why wouldn't he want free full-time care? You know, because that's, most people are like, it's a dream, right? But if you're not, you know, if you feel like that free care is criticizing the way that you're parenting, I can understand wanting to just throw money at that problem. I really, really can. Like I know people who like, they can't even have their in-laws or certain people around for more than like a couple hours because it can get so volatile with the criticism. Like, you know, and we don't know Sheena's mom, right? We only know like the little things that we see of her. So maybe she is hypercritical. I don't know. Like, so I'll give Brock a little bit of grace. Now, that being said, he needs to be much more sensitive in terms of that it is going to take her time, right? Like she's got this postpartum OCD and stuff. So it is going to take time. you know, for her to feel that confidence and to have the nanny. And it's like, dude, like, you can't just expect Sheena to go back to being who she was before she had a baby. That's not going to happen. Right. And if that's your issue, then maybe you shouldn't impregnate people anymore, because women change after they have children. And you have to have some understanding of that. And I'm sorry, but I guarantee you that Sheena would dump Brock before she makes any sacrifices in terms of being a mother, because you can tell that she's, you know, that's something that is matters more to her than anything. Okay. And I don't mean that as a criticism of Sheena, by the way, even though I have a lot of criticism for Sheena coming up as we get right now into episode 6. So Sheena in episode 6 is just so Sheena. I can't. I just want to say this for the record. I mean, I was going to say I don't want to toot my own horn, but sometimes I like to toot my own horn just for like a second because it feels good. Don't we all kind of like, everyone's like, I hate to say I told you so. No, you love it. We all love it. Okay. We all love saying I told you so sometimes. And listen, I don't really need to do an I told you so, because there's, you know, I would say that the Bravo audience when it comes to Sheena is pretty majority are like, yeah, Sheena's going to Sheena, you know. But there is, she has always had her defenders, and there's always been those people who will come out. And anytime you say anything about Sheena, you get people who start barking at you about how, well, Stassi and those girls were the mean girls and they bullied Sheena and are they right to a degree? Yes, but it's not that black and white. It's not Sheena victim, those girls bullies, the end. It's much more nuanced than that. It just is. Right. And I do think that those girls saw it or sensed that Sheena was kind of a guy's girl. And when girls meet a new girl and or woman, when women meet a new woman who you can tell is not, who's like a guy's girl, your defenses go up. Right. And you get on the defense, especially, you know, around your guy. Like, that's, I'm not saying it's right, but it is something that happens, especially when that person comes in and you know they were just part of breaking up a marriage, right? And were having an affair with a guy who has kids. Like, I'm sorry, like, I kind of understood why they were a little like not wanting to be her best friend as soon as she walked in the door. Now, that being said, is it right to, you know, purposefully be like bullying her at work? And even though I don't think bullying is a bit of a stretch, but like, you know, making her do your side duties and what, and, you know, just not being friendly with her in the workplace. No, that's still a crappy thing to do. And that's still on them. But for the most part, like, Sheena gave it right back to them. Like, it's not like she was some little meek flower. Like, I rewatched season one recently and she's giving it right back. Right. And again, I can kind of understand why she didn't really fit in as seamlessly, I guess. And I'm sorry, but they were right. Like, Sheena is like, she can be really annoying, really self-involved. And she has this insatiable appetite for male acceptance and approval. And it's obnoxious. Like, I don't know. I don't think I could be friends with a girl like that either. I really don't. Again, I wouldn't go out of my way to be mean to her, bully her. I wouldn't do anything like that. But I would just be like, she's just not for me. We can, you know, be civil acquaintances, call it a day. Like, I wouldn't be able to be close friends with her. And again, these women were in that situation where, like, they're being forced, they got to film together, and they know they got to make good drama. So I think even if the cameras weren't there, I don't know if Stassi and those girls would have been to the level that they were. I do think a lot of it was they were trying to make a reality show and they wanted to, you know, this was their chance to be famous. And I mean, it worked, let's be honest. Okay, so I don't even know where I went with that rant. Sorry. So Sheena. Now, Sheena being Sheena is like what I hate about her, but it's also what I love about her. Like, I love that Sheena never changes, never grows. You know, yeah, that's what makes her a good reality star. Let's just be honest. So she says that apparently Katie and Ariana aren't her audience when it comes to her feelings about Sandoval. Duh. Like, honestly, I was laughing so hard when she said that. Of course they're not. Sandoval hates Katie, and Katie hates Sandoval. Forever and always, period, dot. And Ariana, do I even need to explain? Of course they're not your audience. Lala's your audience. Even maybe James, like Brock, like just not those two. Those are the two in the entire world who are not your audience. Almost anyone else in your life you can complain to. Okay. So Sheena says she felt stupid after that phone call. Well, you should, because it was stupid. I'm sorry, Sheena. Like, you made a mistake. It was a stupid choice, okay? And doesn't think they cared. She's like, well, they didn't care because, you know, it's not about me. Like, she kind of says that, like, sarcastically. But, like, you don't need to be sarcastic, Sheena, because it's really not about you. And again, the parts that are about you, you can be upset about them. No one can tell you how to feel. Your feelings are valid. I will give Sheena that, but don't complain to Ariana. I'm sorry. Ariana, in her, interview seat with Katie, says she feels that she's been very understanding with Sheena. And she kind of gives that look like, listen, I have been very understanding. And listen, I have to agree. I'm sorry, but seeing the way that Ariana responds, does she say like, well, you know, he was an asshole to you too? Like, yes, she says that, but she is still like, uh-huh, and listens, whereas I'd be like, bye, I need to go. Like, I'm sorry. I would be like, I can't listen to you cry about him. I have to go, and I'd hang up. I'm sorry. And I think a lot of people would. If my, like, I'm thinking about, like, I really imagine myself in Ariana's shoes. If my husband had been having an affair with one of my friends, and then one of my other friends was calling me, one of my other female friends was calling me crying about her friendship with him, I don't even, like, if I knew that the second she started, I'd be hanging up the phone. Like, I would have been done already. So I do think Ariana's pretty understanding. And again, is it because they're probably on a TV show and she kind of has to be? Yes. Katie says she can kind of understand because she knows that Sheena was close with Tom, but also says that she was very close with Ariana. And if she has to make a choice, you know, hasn't Tom made it kind of easy on her with, you know, supporting the restraining order story and basically saying that he doesn't care about their friendship and all that? Yes. And then Katie says, what we all know, Sheena is a male sympathizer and did the same thing when Katie and Schwartz got divorced, which is so true. And Katie points out, suddenly Schwartz was Sheena's best. He's my best friend, you know, and they're very, very good friends all of a sudden. And she needs to be there for him. Right. And Katie was like, yeah, it's almost like jarring. That she suddenly, like, sort of like all of a sudden exaggerates how close and how often she talks to these guys and et cetera. And I mean, we cannot take Sheena's word on how close she is with a friend, because there have been guys who have come and gone on this television show who she has literally claimed that they are her best friend. Like, guys who's like, right now, I can't think of their names, but like Rob was her best friend. One of those younger guys that they brought in when they tried to have some new cast members, one of them was her best friend. Like, she says that about everyone. So yes, it's even if Sandoval is truly one of her best friends, she's the boy who cried wolf. She's the girl who cried best friend, because that's all she does. So it just, like, how am I supposed to know who you're actually close with? The only person who I feel like the world really considers as Sheena's best friend without Sheena's influence is Ariana, because we watch Sheena bring her on the show and we actually watch the two of them have an active friendship and have scenes alone and da, 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 right? So that's the only one. And the rest of them, like, I'm not saying we haven't seen her be like good friends with people, but in terms of quote unquote best friends, I just haven't really seen that with anyone else. And I can't take Sheena's word for it. Okay. So Ariana then kind of echoes that and says, you know, especially since Tom said he didn't give a fuck about their friendship and Sheena was hurt. And instead of being like, you know, fuck off, Ariana says Sheena saw this as almost like a challenge, right? Like now she needs to, you know, fight to get her friendship back with him, which I thought that was very interesting, right? Like in like, it's almost like Sheena likes when people play hard to get almost, right? Like even like Rob, remember when she was with Rob, like you could tell like he wasn't like as into her as she was with him. And it just made her want him like more and more. And even with like Stassi and Katie and those girls, like, you know, she kept trying to say she didn't care about being friends with them, but then she'd break out into tears. It's like, she just wants, you know, like, it's like anyone who doesn't want her, she, you know, she wants them even more, right? Especially when it comes to like male validation specifically, even though I just gave you a female example, but still. Because at the end of the day, if it's like a toss up between who she's going to fight for and put the time into, it's going to be the male one at the end of the day. Like the reason that she was really fighting for the girls was because she's fighting for the show, because she's, you know, she can't really be on the show and film a lot and make as much money if she can't have scenes with the girls. Okay, so Katie repeats that Sheena seeks male validation, and Ariana says Sheena has every right to be friends with Sandoval, but she doesn't think she, Ariana, needs to co-sign it. Exactly, period. It's not like we do, like calling Ariana and trying to get her approval and asking her to co-sign it. Number one, you're putting her in the position of like, she's the boss, right? And, you know, from everything I see Sheena and Lala say, you know, she's not the boss. And, you know, she's just going through a hard time and got these great opportunities. But at the end of the day, it's like they're putting her in this position where they're saying she shouldn't be in charge of who can be friends with who, but then they're asking her for permission. So if you don't believe that she should be in charge of that, then don't ask for the permission in the first place. Now, I understand that people will say, yeah, but she's giving them an ultimatum of like, I'll cut you off. Okay, then just let that happen. And she's the one who will suffer because she's the one who's going to get pushed out of the group. She can't film this whole season with just Katie. Like, it's just not going to happen. So that's it, you know? Anyways, James says he sees both sides because, you know, they're so close. But he also says, why would Ariana care about Sheena being upset over Tom? So he basically echoes like, why does Ariana want to hear you cry about Sandoval? Again, she's the wrong audience. And he's like, if I was in Ariana's position, I wouldn't want to hear it and I wouldn't care. Thank you. Right? Like, imagine someone was like calling James crying about how they couldn't be friends with Rachel anymore after they broke off their engagement. Like he would have just hung up on them. Lala says it would be very different if Ariana had just acknowledged her feelings and said, you know, I'm here from you. I'm here for you from afar, but I just can't be the sounding board for this. Yeah, that would be nice in theory. Now, I do think in the phone call, I do think Ariana acknowledged her feelings. She didn't give her the like, listen, I can't be your sounding board for this. And maybe Ariana did need to say that explicitly in order for Sheena to get it, right? However, on the other side, I feel like if Ariana said that, I do feel like Sheena would be like, I can't even share my feelings, like my real feelings with my best friend. Like, I really think she would have said that. I really do. But whatever, shoulda, woulda, coulda, we don't know. And at the end of the day, that is like, I do agree with Lala here that is how it has to be, but I don't think it's maybe as black and white as that, because it's like Sheena wants explicit permission, right? And the reason that she wants it is because I feel like she thinks it'll make the audience more on or less mad at Sheena for becoming friends with him again. Well, Ariana said she was okay with it. But again, you can't put that on Ariana. If you decide you're going to be friends with Sandoval again, you're going to have to take your lashes from the audience, and you're taking them anyways. So Lala then says, you know, she feels like it wasn't like that, it, you know, from Ariana. She didn't really acknowledge her feelings. It was like Sheena didn't matter. Again, I don't really agree with that. James disagrees. I do agree that, you know, that Ariana was like, well, you know, he was a real asshole to you. Like, I do agree that Ariana's like trying to push Sheena over to her side. Like, remember, he was such a jerk to you. Instead of just being like, Sheena, listen, if you want to be friends with him, it's your funeral, right? Like, he's probably going to screw you over at some point in the future again. And if you want to be friends with me, we just cannot hang out, you know, maybe with him there, or, you know, until I'm over this or until I have time, like, I just can't hang out with you, right? And then Sheena would have to just be like, all right, or no, right? And I get it. Like, I don't think Sheena needs to, you know, bow down to an ultimatum from Ariana either. But again, I can understand why Ariana doesn't want him in her circle. Oh God, it's so annoying. Sorry. I just feel like I'm talking in circles because this is one of those things where it's like, if somebody gives you an ultimatum, you can either just say no, but in saying no, you are still kind of like giving into it. That's why it's such a frustrating situation. But on the other side, like, I can understand why Ariana is giving it, because she just doesn't want anything she says, does, etc., to get back to Tom. Like, I can get that. And she's just so hurt still. But then I can also understand Sheena being like, listen, he's on this show and I'm on the show and they want me to film with him and I want to film with him and I want to be in as many scenes as possible and I want to make my money. And also I'm Sheena and, you know, I often am pretty forgiving of men and the crappy things that men do. And that's who I am. And I don't have the same viewpoints as you. So it's just, it's a tough situation. It really is. But again, I'm on Ariana's side, just to clarify. I don't know if anything I said just makes sense. I'm just kind of like feeling this out as I go. Okay. So James disagrees with Lala about saying that, you know, Ariana was acting like Sheena doesn't matter. Lala says, well, at the reunion, Ariana even acknowledged James's feelings and that Sandoval was like a brother to him. And then they show a clip of that. And then Lala says, has anyone ever acknowledged the friendship that Sandoval and Sheena had? Well, no, they haven't, Lala, because they didn't have that deep of a friendship. I'm sorry. I just have to say this. I really don't think that they did. I think Sheena's, the length of time is not necessarily a determinant for how close you are with someone. Like, I have people who I've known for a really long time and I'm not as close with them as people who I've known for shorter. Like, that's, it's not like, oh, because like Sheena's like, we've been friends for 15 years. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Were you like texting every day, calling? Like, did you really have this like deep relationship? It's hard. Like, I haven't seen that. Like, why does anyone have to acknowledge, and why specifically does Ariana have to acknowledge that Sheena and Sandoval had a close relationship? Again, why is that on her? Yes. Did she acknowledge it at the reunion? Yes, with James. Yes, but that was only because it was a spur of the moment, James saying something about how Sandoval was like writing off their friendship, etc. So Ariana backed him up. If that had come up with Sheena, like that specific topic had been brought up, I'm sure Ariana would have said the same thing, but it just never came up, right? Like, anyways, and Sheena wasn't there for as much of it because of the Rachel of it all as well. So it's just, I don't know. To me, this wasn't the best point from Lala. James is like, yeah, but Sandoval said we weren't that close and I didn't really see anyone in the group like fighting for that. That's what James says. And then Lala gets all upset and is like, you're not making any sense. And Lala wasn't okay with that. And you know, she says, you know, none of us were okay with him saying that about you. We all lost our mind on him about that at the reunion. And again, I don't, like, they all lost their mind on Sandoval at the reunion too, about the whole like cab thing and, you know, whether Sheena punched Rachel or not and all that kind of stuff, right? So they did all stand up for her in that, but it was also a legal thing and it was emotional and she was getting the letter. Like, I just don't think it's exactly the same. Lala says either way, They came and they babied James and said his feelings are valid, but no one has done that for Sheena. I mean, you have, Lala. You have. And I do think a lot of the reason that no one has done that is because I just think that, like, I just didn't see the same level of connection between Sheena and Tom as I did with James and Tom. Also, the woman that Tom Sandoval had an affair with was James's ex-fiance. So if this was Sheena's ex-fiance that Tom had an affair with, that would be weird, obviously, because that would mean that, well, it wouldn't be weird. It would just mean that, I guess, Tom was bisexual and we never knew. But if that was the case, let's just say, then yeah, people would be straight up validating Sheena's feelings. It would be different, right? And I think people were, like, very sensitive to Sheena and the whole restraining order thing. Like, that was, like, a big deal. It was one of the biggest deals of the whole thing. So, like, I don't know. Okay. Well, not that I don't know. I just mean, like, I don't see Lala and Sheena's argument as much. James says he didn't care either way if anyone acknowledged his relationship outside of Sandoval. He's like, the only person I cared about acknowledging it was Sandoval, which, that's fair. You know, Sheena seems to need a lot of hand-holding. Okay, so going back to the whole money thing now. So this is Sandoval loaning Sheena money, I guess, out of nowhere during COVID. I almost said COVID. Tom said he sent the money because he knew she was struggling and she's his friend. Okay, that sounds lovely. And, you know, he didn't want it to be a big deal for her. And, you know, he just wants her to forget it ever happened. Okay, Sandoval. Katie says the money gesture was nice, but it doesn't overshadow all the messed up stuff that he did. Exactly. The money thing is nice, but does that overshadow that he was, like, speaking out against you, you know, with the whole restraining order thing and the legal stuff that you say, again, was the most traumatic thing you've ever been through? I don't think it does, because money is just money. Like, a criminal record is a different thing. Ariana says it's sad because it's like Sheena feels she owes him something now. Exactly. Right. Katie says she thinks he does it for himself. He likes to be that guy that, like, can just give people money and it, you know, it gives him, like, a kind of status. And that Katie says, personally, I would have said thank you, but I also would have sent the money back because I wouldn't want him to have that over my head. Agreed. Ariana says he gets a boost from doing things like that, but it's hard to say if it's, like, a normal boost, like, just like a boost that we all get from doing nice things, or if it's, like, a weird manipulative boost, right? So she just, you know, she kind of leaves it as, like, she doesn't know. And again, see, like, to me, things like that kind of show me that Ariana is not completely gone into, like, crazy ex land where you're just, you know, spouting anything evil. Like, it does show me that she looks at things reasonably and logically and can put, you know, emotions aside at times. Okay, because if that was me, I'd probably be like, yeah, he's a jerk and he uses money to control people. And then I'd take all his clothes and, like, throw them in the river. Okay. Katie says he does do stuff like this money thing all the time, and it is a little weird. Tom says, they flash back to Tom and Tom. So Sandoval says he's done that many times for many people, just to make sure we all know. And he doesn't want them to think that it's him buying their loyalty. I mean, just the fact that you even said that makes me think that's what it's about. But anyways, Schwartz says he had Ariana's brother live with them for free when he first moved out to LA. Yeah, of course, it's Ariana's brother. It wasn't like some random person that you found who was struggling and needed help. Like, to me, that's just not, like, the best example. Then he does and Ariana probably wouldn't have let Sandoval charge her brother rent or anything. Then he does now this clip's been floating around, so I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, you should go, like, I don't know. You got to go on social media and try and find it. He does this thing where he's like, I tell people, like, you know, on your birthday, everyone on their birthday should give $100 to a homeless person. And then he acts out how he does it. So he's like, here's how you do it in like a not self-serving way. And then he like walks, gets out of his chair and he walks up as though he's giving it to like an imaginary person who's sitting on the ground. And he's like, hey, dude, can you hold this for me for a second? And then like walks away really quickly. Schwartz looks, watching Sandoval do this, Schwartz looks like he wants to crawl inside of himself and die. Like, I have never seen such secondhand embarrassment. It is the most, like, I've watched it like three times, I think, because I saw it like twice on social media and then again when I did my notes, but I was like, what did I just watch? It is the most, oh my God, it's the cringiest thing. And he, like, really, he thinks he's like cool and is it nice that he gives $100 to a homeless person every year on his birthday? Yeah, it is. But like, just the fact that you feel the need to tell us that you do that and then act it out to show us how you do it in such a non-selfish way, right? And in such a quote unquote, not self-serving way. That's the part that's weird. And the way he acts it, it's just, it's bad. It's all bad. Okay. Sandoval said he grew up lower middle class and it's not a big deal to him because, you know, he has it, he can do it, so he does it. Do you have it, though? Like, maybe if you stopped just, like, PayPaling money to Sheena and everyone else when they're struggling, maybe you wouldn't be in such a bad position and you wouldn't have to borrow $250,000 for your mother who had to like use it from her retirement after she was a firefighter her whole life. Like, Jesus. Sheena says, Tom's publicist put out the story about Brock and Rachel. Here is the other thing. Sheena knows Tom and his team put out that story that her husband also slept with Rachel, and she still is crying over him and wants to be his friend. Like, what does he have to do? Like, does he have to come to your home and steal all your stuff and like light your possessions on fire and like punch Brock in the face? Like, what does Sandoval have to do that will get Sheena to be like, maybe I don't need this guy as my friend anymore? So she says Tom's publicist put out that story. And then she goes on this whole rant about how Tom's publicist is the worst person. She's like, he was a fucking snake and Tom fired him because he was putting out these like untrue stories. Okay. So it was the publicist. I just found that so funny how quickly, like, she doesn't put blame on Sandoval for even one second. She puts the blame right on his publicist, even though Tom is still denying that his publicist and his team were even doing this at all. Like, yeah, if you talk to Sandoval, his recount of the story is that he had nothing to do with that and that they can't prove it. And the fact that he said that in episode 6 just makes me think he definitely did it. And I mean, obviously he did it. But anyways, he's denying that. So Sheena knows that he's out here lying about that, and she's still defending him. And she does not, there's no mention of Tom Sandoval did this. She goes right to Tom's publicist put that out, and Tom's publicist is a fucking snake. That's what she says. And then she congratulates him. Like, and that's why Tom fired him. Like, just her need to make men the hero in the story. The hero or the victim. He's a victim of his evil publicist, but he's the hero because he did the right thing by firing him. But it's not really his fault. Jesus, Sheena. And then Tom says he would never do that. And again, he says in this post-show interview, he says his team didn't do it. So he's still even denying it. Like, Sheena knows she's being lied to and she's still fishing for this friendship and fighting for it. Sheena says she knows it was his team and not him. Like, he's not even there denying it and Sheena's still protecting him. It is so messed up. Ariana says it's plausible and that particular publicist does that. And that, you know, she hesitates to comment on this topic a lot because this Because basically she's like, I don't want to talk shit about any publicist because then tomorrow there'll be some story put out about me that's like salacious, which again, I could see that. Ariana says, you know, it could be even just that Tom and his publicist were having a shit talking session and the publicist like took it upon themselves to put out a story. So again, here's Ariana like still giving the benefit of the doubt and, you know, not being like completely, you know, emotional or vengeful, right? And again, that's why I am always more willing to believe her side of things than Sheena Sandoval or anyone else, okay? But again, she also kind of implies that at the same time, Tom could have co-signed it, you know, which I think he would at that point because he was so desperate. Schwartz says there's no credibility to it. And, you know, wait, where was it? Oh, yeah. And Sandoval says same thing. They don't believe it. And Schwartz then asks Sandoval, was there a little part of you that was happy about it? And then Sandoval's like, no. And like kind of looks like has that really like defensive face that he puts on whenever he's being accused of something. So that tells me that he was secretly a little happy about it. And then Schwartz is like, no, I'm just kidding. See, Schwartz still is doing his old tricks. He's still, on some level, he's still pissed at Sandoval for like ruining his life, basically, his marriage, restaurant, and getting him involved in this. And he's still putting out these little jabs that are like almost telling the camera what Sandoval's guilty of without telling them, right? There was this. He's like, you know, was there a little part of you that was happy? But as in, you know, Schwartz probably knows that Sandoval put that story out to deflect and was happy about it. And then there was the other one. What was the other one that I talked about earlier? The dog, right? So earlier, Schwartz was like, were you a little worried that like the dog was going to recognize you? Like, again, Schwartz is just, he's always like throwing these out. Okay, so Sandoval says he was not happy about it and looks guilty. Sheena says, of course, she questioned Brock, right? And she's like, didn't it make everyone question their significant other? Yeah, I'm sure it made a lot of people who were maybe either jealous or had some sort of insecurity in their relationship. I mean, I personally, it didn't make me question anything, but yeah, I get it. I get, especially like for people who are anxious, I get that. Ariana says she doesn't think anything happened. And her philosophy is, and I love this, her philosophy is, if you can get him, you can have him. I love that. I love that. Get that on a t-shirt, Ariana. That would be, honestly, I want that t-shirt. I'm going to make it. Okay. So then we get like a little interview with Brock, which we haven't had yet in these after shows. I mean, I'm sure he's done them. We get Brock and James. And I was just like, whoa, when I saw Brock's outfit, like, oh my, he's wearing like a see-through black sheer floral top. It's got like a black, you know, like, I don't know, like lacy black flowers and it's see-through. And then he's wearing like heeled patent leather boots. They're like black and they're kind of pointy and they're like, it's like a good heel. I was like, okay, Brock. Okay. I mean, I was just like, I know he's worn stuff like that before, like boots with like a heel and stuff. And listen, I'm not one who's like, oh, men can't dress that. Like, I think do you do whatever you want, whatever you feel good and confident in. I just have to say, I wasn't expecting it. I just wasn't expecting it. And I think the combo of the shirt and the shoes, I was like, okay, Brock really dressed up for this. So then Sandoval tells this whole long story of his first love and then says she reminds him of Rachel and that's probably why he fell so deep. Okay, then Sandoval goes on and on about how Lala got to film the show with protectors on and it was not the same level as the rest of them for all those years and it hasn't been fair when they're all showing their lives. See, here's the thing with Sandoval is he's under the impression that life is fair and it's not. There are going to be times where people are going to have more privileges than you and times when they're going to have less. And usually situations depend on the individual and the specific circumstances around that. So was Lala kind of protected in the sense that she was keeping like her personal life with Rand off the show? Yes, he's right about that. Is that the same as what he did with Rachel and Ariana? No. Like, if we're going to talk about fairness, there's no point in comparing them because you had an affair with another cast member. Like, did she sleep with a man who was still with his first wife, probably, and all that? Yeah, she did. But was the first wife a cast member? No. And if she was, you better believe we would have talked about it. And again, I understand that like Lala did have protection in some senses, but it's just not the same. And also just the fact that that even happened in the past, it's a moot point. Like, it's irrelevant. Just acknowledging that doesn't make what you did any better. What you did still sucks. Period. Okay. He says, you know, Lala, one thing that's always bothered him about Lala is that she just says things to be salacious, like to get like more camera time, and she doesn't really care about what she's saying. You know, for example, when she went to Sheena about Brock not having a relationship with his kids. And then when she went to Ariana about Tom leaving the party early, so what you're saying then is that she does her job. Like, is that a fault? Like, he just said she doesn't share, so sharing their lives is part of their job. Another part of their job, if we're just being honest, is to create storylines and conflict and to bring things up on camera so that they get talked about. So I'm not mad at that. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, but I do think that I can see as a mom and as somebody who has kids, that if my friend started dating some guy and he had kids back in another country and he wasn't paying child support and he had no relationship with him, I'd be asking questions too to my female friend. Okay. And let's be honest, Sheena doesn't necessarily make the best decisions with men, if we can just be right. Like, and then when she asked Ariana about Tom leaving the party, again, if I saw something or knew something like suspect like that, I would also bring it up. Like, I feel like Tom, whenever a female does something to help another woman on this show, and he's always been like this, he will just jump in and be like, you're just trying to get attention and you're just a narcissist and you're just this and you're just doing it for that. Like, he doesn't like when like women have each other's backs, right? He wants like, that's one of the reasons that I think he has sort of like manipulated Sheena and stuff, because it's always been easy. He's like, oh, Sheena, I'll like isolate her from the other girls, convince her that she's a victim of them, and then she's always going to be more on my side. And it's working. Lala says in that whole fight with Tom on the boat, she was just looking for an apology. And she says, again, she thinks he's a true narcissist. We all do. She says the boat fight was like the weirdest experience she's ever had. And she said, you know, she says she feels like no one is ever a dog in the fight for her, and that this was kind of like, you know, a surreal experience because Sheena stepped up for her. And they like give each other that look. Okay. Okay, I guess. Schwartz says he didn't think it was the time or place to be opening up the history book. So again, that Schwartz's like nice way of being like, stop opening up the history books, Tom. It's just making you look worse and making everyone hate you more, which he's exactly right about that. But then when Schwartz is in the middle of making this point, Sandoval cuts him off and says, well, actually, I wasn't bringing up the history books, and it's actually the complete opposite of that. He says that. He says it's actually the complete opposite, which is insane that he thinks it's the opposite. And he says it's that the rest of them are bringing up the past and like analyzing every little thing I've done. So what he's making reference to is that on podcasts, I guess, or in interviews, you know, the cast would make reference to things that have happened in the past that were maybe little clues. You know, that Sandoval's always been a narcissist or a jerk or whatever you want to say, or a cheater or whatever, like going back to like you know, Miami girl, or to, you know, there was this suspicious thing that happened, there was that suspicious thing, whatever, right? But that's not the same thing, right? Like, again, he does these like false equivalencies. Like, they're saying that there were clues that he wasn't like the type of boyfriend who's faithful. Whereas for him, he's saying, you can't be mad at me for the fucked up thing I did, because 7 years ago, you did something fucked up that's completely unrelated to this. So it's like, no, what they're looking at from the past is things that are related. Like, you already cheated on Ariana maybe 2 or 3 times. So that's a clue. Like, that's a red flag. And I'm sorry, but like, Lala has always gone about how she doesn't like you. So it's not like this was not like new. It wasn't like Lala all of a sudden was like, here's all the reasons I hate Tom Sandoval. She was more just like, told you guys, you know? So again, like, the fact that like he is again using the past to deflect from the present, and by just like every time he gets attacked, let me point out everyone else's faults. Yeah, but you did this in like 1987 or whatever, right? Like, it's just, it's not the same. It's exhausting too. Like, I see why Schwartz is like, can we just stop with the history books? But it was just, to me, it was just, I was so shocked. Like, just when I heard him say, actually, I don't do that, and it's actually the complete opposite. I couldn't, only a person who is completely delusional and really has like some sort of personality disorder, would say something like that. I just, every time I feel like he can't surprise me anymore or get any worse, he does. We are a year into this, and I am still shocked by the things that I hear from Sandoval's mouth. Still a year in. And I'm still, and I'm annoyed that I still am hearing his mouth. Okay. Lala said they did have a nice moment. And, you know, a lot of it was because she was just exhausted and they were on the same page in terms of just like being civil and cordial. Sandoval says he realizes that, you know, he needed to put effort into him and Lala's relationship, that he hadn't put effort into it in a long time. Whatever. I believe no sincerity from anything he says. Sandoval says, like, he can understand why, you know, Sheena, or like, he understands like Sheena's OCD diagnosis, because, like, you know, when it came to like the whole like Scandoval situation, Sheena went into the extreme, quote unquote, like right away. Okay. So again, it's like, again, it's not his fault. The level of mad that Sheena was, you know, that's because Sheena's got OCD, right? Sheena says she was mad about so many things at once. And, you know, the only good thing that came out of the whole like Tahoe thing was that, you know, I finally saw genuine emotion and tears, and it was like not performative. Okay. Keep telling yourself that, Sheena. Sandoval says he could tell Sheena was really hurt, and then he starts crying again and says he thinks he saw a different perspective and like came out of his own feelings. And then that's the end. Okay. So listen, I have been very vocal about how this season is just not hitting correctly, but I'm going to admit I really liked episode 6. And like, I'm just looking, like, episode 5 after show, I have one page of notes, and episode 6, I have like a little over 2 pages. So a lot more did happen episode 6. And I do, you know, to me though, the best storyline happening right now is like Sheena being all like Sheena. That's the real storyline. And the way that like Sheena's trying to navigate her intense, intense desire to be friends with Sandoval again, and the way that her and Lala are kind of like turning on Ariana, more Sheena, to me, that's going to be the storyline I'm here for. Seeing like Sandoval, like, and that whole like redemption thing, that alone, like, I can't deal with that. I really can't. So yeah, I'm glad that we have something else brewing. And again, despite all this, I do have to say, I do think that Ariana, despite the fact that I'm on her side with everything, I think she needs to suck it up when it comes to filming. Like, this is a show, right? And we're not going to get content. You know, we're just not. We're not going to get any content if it's just like, there's only so many scenes of like you and Katie sitting and talking about the restaurant or whatever, or FaceTiming with Sheena for 5 seconds that I can deal with. Like, I'm going to need more than that. And I do think that she will concede and start to film like with the group, but like, we're going to have that, or I don't know, the show's going to have to end. Like, I don't know where else it can go without that. And the reason that we did get a good episode, episode 6, is because most of the group did get together and there were fights and there was drama. And yeah, so I don't know. Like, I, again, if this is just, if we're just talking about this, like it's real life, stay strong, you know, Ariana, like don't mess with him. You don't have to be around people who are around him. Protect your peace, have your boundaries, all that stuff. But this is not exactly that situation because you are on a show and you are getting paid and it is your job. So I can't defend her in that sense. Okay, so that was a lot. I'm sorry if some of my rants in the middle, I feel like there was that one where I was going around in circles, made no sense, but I had to just kind of like talk it out, you know, like talk out my feelings about that situation with Sheena and the ultimatum and complaining with Ariana. So hopefully it wasn't terrible. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. And I will see you next time for episode 7. Keep overanalyzing Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.